Welcome to my first podcast. This is the Reverend Alan Warren from Appleby United Church, and in light of the coronavirus 19 virus, we are not having church this Sunday, but you can listen online. And this is the message for Sunday, March 15th. It is the second in our series on our mission statement, Walking with Jesus, We Feed the Hungry. And our first passage is from Matthew 14, Jesus Feeds the 5,000. When Jesus heard the news about John, he left there in a boat and went to a lonely place by himself. The people heard about it, and so they left their towns and followed him by land. Jesus got out of the boat, and when he saw the large crowd, his heart was filled with compassion, and he healed their sick. That evening, his disciples came to him and said, "It is already very late, and this is a lonely place. Send the people away, and let them go to the villages to buy food for themselves." "They do not need to leave," Jesus answered. "You yourselves give them something to eat." "All we have are 5 loaves and 2 fish, they replied. "Then bring them here to me," said Jesus. He ordered the people to sit down on the grass. Then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, looked up to heaven and gave thanks to God. He broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. Everyone ate and had enough. Then the disciples took up 12 baskets full of what was left over. The number of men who ate was about 5,000, not counting the women and children. That was Matthew 14, beginning at verse 13. We will now turn to the reading about Jesus feeding 4,000, which is Matthew 15, and I'm going to begin at verse 29. Jesus heals many people. Jesus left there and went along by Lake Galilee. He climbed a hill and sat down. Large crowds came to him, bringing with them the lame, the blind, the crippled, the dumb, and many other sick people, whom they placed at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. The people were amazed as they saw dumb speaking and the crippled made whole, the lame walking and the blind seeing. And they praised the God of Israel. Jesus called his disciples to him in and said, "I feel sorry for these people because they have been with me now for 3 days and now have nothing to eat. I don't want to send them away without feeding them, for they might faint on their way home." The disciples asked him, "Where will we find enough food in this desert to feed this crowd?" "How much bread do you have?" Jesus asked. 7 loaves, they answered, "and a few small fish." So Jesus ordered the crowd to sit down on the ground. Then he took the 7 loaves and the fish, gave thanks to God, broke them, and gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and had enough. Then the disciples took up 7 baskets full of pieces left over. The number of men who ate was 4,000, not counting women and children. Then Jesus sent the people away, got into a boat, and went to the territory of Magadan. Thanks be to God for these words. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. How many of you have ever been hungry? Or how many of you have ever had to deal with a food shortage on a regular basis? I am Alan Warren, and today's message is Walking with Jesus, We Feed the Hungry. And I want to thank you for tuning in to this podcast for today's message. Today, We will take a closer look at the feeding of the 5,000 and the related feeding of the 4,000 in Matthew's gospel. We will look at the results of a new University of McMaster study on the canceled Ontario Basic Income Project. And we will look at why automation may cause governments to look at new ways of dealing with the unemployed. Can I tell you a little bit about my story today? Thank you. I am fortunate I have never gone hungry on a long-term basis. The cupboards at home and growing up always had something in them. I may not have had the Trix or Captain Crunch that I wanted as a kid, but there was Cheerios, Wheaties, Shreddies, or the like. A special treat was those big bags of Wheat Puffs. Do you remember those? My most interesting food story involves an overnight hike on the Bruce Trail with my good friend Brad and his uncle Alan. Now, his uncle brought their dog with them, and at the end of the day, we go to make supper. And Brad asks, "Did you bring a pot?" I said, "No, I thought you were bringing the pot." "Uncle Al, did you bring a pot?" The answer was no, but soon we spied the big metal bowl lashed to the back of Al's dog. So we ended up making Kraft dinner that night in the dog dish. The one big problem with this was when it was done, Rover kept thinking that it was his dinner in the dish. Can't understand why he thought that. But when you're really, really hungry, what is a few dog germs? Now, this was way before any concerns about SARS or coronavirus, which are believed to be animal-related viruses. This is why, even to this day, I have a high aversion to any Kraft dinner. Now, the question for you to think about today is hunger. It could be world hunger at Ethiopia and the Sudan or other areas, or even hunger that people experience in our own cities. Do you have any thoughts on how to address such issues? And I'll give you 10 seconds just to think about it on your own. Now, I wish I could ask you for any of your suggestions. Please feel to tell me in the coming weeks when you see me. Now, would you not agree that the feeding of the 5,000 is a great feel-good story? Well, you are not the only one to think so, because the early church did too. Did you know the feeding of the 5,000 is the only miracle story that is recorded in all four Gospels? Amazing. I mean, what is not to like? Jesus, being motivated by compassion, healed those who were brought to him and then provided some food for them to eat before the long walk home. There are some disturbing elements to this story, though. When Jesus says, "Why they don't have to leave, you yourselves give them something to eat." Really, Jesus? How do you expect me to do that? My backyard barbecue couldn't feed 500 people, let alone 5,000. How do you account for the feeding of the 5,000? Any answers? Do you see it as a miracle, like the manna in the desert for the Israelites many years before? Or possibly, could you see it like William Barclay, who, in John's Gospel, it is a little boy who comes up with the five loaves and the two fish. And as he explains, in Jesus' day and age, you would not leave home without a little food stuck under your coat. It's not like there was a McDonald's or Tim Hortons on every street corner where you could stop and get something to eat. And when people saw this little boy willing to share, they were embarrassed and brought out their food from under their coats. And lo and behold, when they were willing to share, there was more than enough to spare for all of them. This story confirms what so many Latin American theologians have coined as Jesus' preferential option for the poor. Does that mean God doesn't love us too? No, but it does mean God has a special ache in his heart for those who hunger and thirst, the poor. As followers of Jesus, what do we do? What can we do? Please notice that Jesus doesn't feed the 5,000 the disciples do. Jesus looks up to heaven, blesses the bread, breaks the bread, and then gives it to the disciples to distribute to the people. This story clearly shows that God does not work alone. God works through people like you and me. We are the hands and feet of Christ in the world. Okay, Alan, so how do we feed the hungry? As you know, it's a fairly big problem that has been around for a while. Most of us are comfortable bringing food to the food wagon here at church on a regular basis. And thank you for doing that. It is a very important ministry and helps to keep the shelves at our Community Cares and the Burlington Food Bank topped up for those who need it. But I think there is more, and the more is what makes us feel uncomfortable, just as the disciples felt uncomfortable when Jesus said, "You yourselves give them something to eat." There was a very good article on the front page of last Wednesday's Hamilton Spectator entitled, "Did Free Cash Drive People to Quit Work?" Subtitle, "Not According to a MAC Study of Ontario's Basic Income Experiment." Feeding the hungry is a complex problem. Besides droughts and floods and other political problems, war, hunger is often associated with poverty. Do you remember what Social Service Minister Lisa McLeod said when she axed the Ontario Basic Income Pilot Project? "It is a disincentive for people to find jobs, to work." Well, the recent MAC study squashed that argument. 3/4 who were employed before joining Ontario's ill-fated basic income project continued to work while receiving the no-strings-attached monthly stipend. More than 1/3 of those low-wage workers were able to move to higher-paying and more secure jobs. Some were motivated to go back to school, try and get a university education to find a better job with better wages and working conditions. The report also found those receiving basic income had better mental and physical health with fewer hospital emergency visits and more stable housing. The study found that for many, the Basic Income Project proved to be, quote, transformational, fundamentally reshaping their living standard as well as their sense of self-worth and hope for the future, end of quote. You yourselves give them something to eat. While the Basic Income Project makes some of us uncomfortable, it seems to fly in the face of the Protestant work ethic, just giving people a monthly income. I like what Gwen Dyer's thoughts on it. 1/3 of American manufacturing jobs have vanished in the past 20 years, and the vast majority, 85%, were destroyed by automation. He went on to say it's plausible that almost half of the existing American jobs may be automated out of existence in the next 20 years. Look, there in the sky. It's a bird. It's a plane. No, it's an automated drone delivering your Amazon package to your front door. Sound far-fetched? It's a lot closer than you think. Gwen Dyer suggests evolution beats revolution. That something needs to be found to take the shame and the building anger out of being unemployed. The unemployment rate among prime age working men in America is 17% and climbing. Why haven't we noticed? Because unemployed people aren't protesting in the streets as they did in the Great Depression of the 1930s. And if the stock market doesn't recover soon, we may be in another Great Depression. Now, why aren't they? After the Second World War, many of the Western democracies built welfare states, mainly so a new generation of radical populist leaders, as Hitler was, would not come to power the next time there was mass unemployment. Working and living conditions in Germany after World War I were horrific. While a basic annual income goes against the grain, it may prove to be a good hands up rather than a handout, providing people with the secure footing they need to find new and better jobs, or go back to school and retrain. It will also save on costly staff time for welfare caseworkers who spend the vast majority of their time on paperwork rather than helping others. When helping others, whether it be gifts to the United Church of Canada's Mission and Service Fund or the Canadian government helping other countries overseas, I often hear the words, charity should start at home, or aren't there enough people in Canada who need help, or we have enough of our own problems. The feeding of the 4,000 provides an interesting insight into that. Jesus didn't just help out his own kind. The 12 baskets left over in the feeding of the 5,000 represents the 12 tribes of Israel. If you go back a little farther in chapter 15, the story of the 4,000, you find the story of a Canaanite woman's faith. When asked to heal her daughter, Jesus answered, I have been sent to the lost sheep of Israel. In other words, charity starts at home. When the woman answers, even the dogs eat the leftovers that fall from their master's table, Jesus sees the error of his ways and heals her daughter. In the feeding of the 5,000, Do you remember how many baskets full of food were left over? You're right. It was 7. Would you like to know how many Canaanite nations there were? 7. Canaanites being those who worshipped Baal and that Israel and Judah fought with constantly in the Old Testament. God loves everyone and wants everyone to experience a full and abundant life. You yourself give them something to eat. In this passage, the disciples learned that when they work together and follow Jesus' teaching, there is more than enough to spare, and amazing things can happen. The coronavirus is showing us just how interconnected we are as a world. We need to be open to helping out our neighbors near and far. And I think in the end, the coronavirus will teach us that new scripts are needed to be found to solve world problems. Feeding the hungry. Evolution, not revolution. Basic annual incomes. They don't need to leave, Jesus answered. You yourselves give them something to eat. Thanks be to God. Amen. At church this Sunday, we were going to sing, I'm Going to Live So God Can Use Me. So maybe you can spend some time thinking about how God can use you to help solve the problem of hunger in our communities and in the world. And also, please pray for those affected by the COVID-19 virus and pray for all the healthcare workers responsible for treating them and also for those who are affected. Bye for now.